we got it together over here. This was having a little trouble with the recorder. And we're set to go, calling the TipsNet. Calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club's TipsNet. Great place to stop by and get tips on amateur radio. Or to share the benefit of your knowledge with others. The TipsNet meets weekly at 7 p.m. local time here on the W1DX repeater in the Salem, 147.060. The CTCSS tone for the repeater is 156.7 hertz. And all are welcome, as I may have said or overlooked saying. All amateurs are welcome. You do not need to be a member of the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club or any other organization to participate in this net. Just have a valid ham license and an interest in talking about ham radio and having good fellowship. The purpose of the net, in fact, is to practice good fellowship amongst amateur radios, to exchange information in a comfortable, casual environment, and also to practice good operating procedure. When checking into the net, we'd be very grateful if you would use the following procedure. It seems to work well and cut down on confusion and doubling. First, key the mic and say, "This is," and then let go of the mic like this. And then key up and give your call sign, slowly and phonetically, please, if you would. And if you have a topic on your mind or a question, you can mention the LetNet control. Know that you have something. And when the net control gets back to you, you can expostulate and expound or inquire. I guess that's about it for the housekeeping. There's probably something I'm overlooking here. Again, your net control is KA6PDG. Oh, yeah, we do want to, for anybody who's new, the first part of the net's in three sections. So the first part I like to call the topic section. That's where we really focus on questions that folks have about anything related to amateur radio or other topics for discussion, even if it's not necessarily in the form of a question. The second part is for announcements, and the third part of the net is for swapping. If you have gear, amateur radio gear only, that you want to buy, sell, get rid of, swap, whatever. Now I think I've covered everything. So Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf is my call sign, KA6PDG. I will be your net control this evening, and let's go ahead and invite some check-ins again. Come slowly, spread them out. We like to get a lot of stations on the net, and some nights we do, and some nights we only have a few. But we'd love to invite anybody who'd like to join us here on the Tips Net this evening. Please come with your call sign at this time.
This is
Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston, no questions at this time.
Good night.
All right, let me acknowledge the stations we have heard, and then we'll see who else is out there. First of all, we acknowledge KC1TWR. Tim, good evening. You didn't list any topics or questions, but we're going to go through the list of everybody in a minute. We also heard KC1DCT, Delta Charlie Tango. Hi, Dave. We have Steve, NK1V. And we have Josh, K0JEB, who's going to be in and out, no doubt listening if he's able. Josh, I suspect you're working. If you decide later in the net that you want to pop back in or you have something to bring forth, feel free to just let the net control know. Sometimes one has to work. I know. It's that four-letter word. All right. Any other stations for the Tips Net this evening? Come with your call sign, and if there's a topic or a question you'd like to take up, this is KA6PDG looking for more check-ins this evening. Where we are is where we are, and we'll have another call up. We try to call up every 10 or 12 minutes here on the net. I will try to be good about that, and I hope everybody's enjoying the evening. I don't know if we got any snow here in Norwich, but I know some places did get snow squalls and snow showers. Let's see, and I didn't hear anybody bring forth any topics as yet, so I have a couple written down, and we'll see if any of them are at all of interest. The first one I'm thinking about, I got thinking about earlier today, is QSB. Well, that's a Q signal. QSB means fading. I guess it's usually atmospheric fading, but that's kind of the question on my mind. What causes fading, particularly on the low bands, the HF bands? What causes QSB? Is it strictly the ionosphere, or are there other things also that cause fading of signals up and down on the band? Let me reset. And if the answer is that it's pretty much the ionosphere that causes fading, then what is it about the ionosphere? What's happening? Is it a variation in the makeup or the density of ionized particles? Is it variations in the altitude of a certain layer of the ionosphere? And why does fading, in my mind anyway, it always seems to be pretty regular? Meaning if somebody's signal fades from the strongest to the weakest in about 2 minutes, then the next time it fades, it'll probably be about the same. Or if it's 45 seconds, then it's probably going to be the same. I would almost think if fading is caused by the texture of, or say, clouds of ionized gas in the ionosphere, wouldn't it vary more? Wouldn't you have a signal that fades up and down in 15 seconds, and then the next time maybe 2 minutes, and so on and so forth? So, QSB is an idea that I thought of tonight because I have questions about it. So let's go through. One by one here and see who's up to what, and if you care to say anything about QSB, that would be welcome as well. Or maybe you have other questions that I haven't thought of about fading on the HF bands, up and down, up and down. KC1TWR, hello again, Tim, and how you doing this evening?
Hello, Kevin, this is Tim, KC1TWR. Doing pretty well this evening. My wife had a very successful colonoscopy, so very happy about that. In regards to the question about fading, usually I find that fading occurs in the evening. My brain starts to shut down and I get very tired, but I guess, wait a minute, you're talking about amateur radio. Okay. I think it's due to the atmospheric conditions, and it could be storm fronts coming in, different temperatures that are up there with the moisture content. Could also be due to various impact from the what we're receiving from the sun. but that's just guesses on my part. And then, of course, there's fading, like with satellites, when they start to come into view, and then a strong signal when they're overhead, and then they can fade out as they get down closer to the horizon. And that's my thought on that. I'm not going to be very talkative this evening for some reason. I'm just not fully put together today. I think I left a few parts out when I got myself going this morning. So with that, I'll go back to KA6PDG from KC1TWR.
That's absolutely fine, Tim. I know the feeling. Sometimes you just want to be a little bit quiet or just kind of keep it quick, and that's no problem with that whatsoever. So, very good. Well, you brought forth a few ideas about what it might be as far as talking about QSB fading on the low bands. I was tending to think about HF, like single sideband, but it can happen in CW or AM or whatever. Not so much satellites, although there is QSB to some degree on the VHF frequencies. I would say I've noticed it mostly on the AM aircraft band, where you'll have some fading of the signals up and down. And I'm suspecting a lot of that's due to weather and clouds, maybe more so than the ionosphere. But again, I like you, Tim, I'm sort of conjecturing. So let's see what, K1DCT. Now, if ever there was an expert on fading, it's got to be Dave, K6PDG in the TipsNet. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Kevin, and all those on the net, and I thank you for that wonderful introduction. This is K1DCT. Well, yes, I've experienced a lot of fading, some very similar to what Tim started to describe, and it doesn't only happen in the evening. It happens many times. In fact, I think I probably faded out a couple of years, but that aside, as far as radio propagation goes, most of the fading I experience is due to the ionosphere. Because, of course, during the day, it warms up, and it splits into, well, there's many layers anyway, but some of those layers have sub-layers, I'll call them, off the top of my head. So you end up with, the low bands, as we call them, higher frequency, say 20 meters, starts to get, as we say, long. So you get a long skip out of it. But at this time of day, this time of the year, I should say, about, 4, 5 o'clock, all of a sudden you begin to get that fading on 20 meters because things are starting to cool off, not that they aren't plenty cold already, and those sub-layers start to recombine, and some of the other layers. So then 20 meters, all of a sudden, your signal doesn't go anywhere, and it happens gradually, and that's why you get that fade. It doesn't collapse, although sometimes it seems like it does. So that's been my experience with fading, and off the top of my head, the best description I can handle at the moment. Back to net, K1DCT.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Dave. So, yeah, a lot of it apparently is the movement, I guess we could say, of the layers and the formation of the layers as the ionosphere warms up from the sunlight and then is no longer under the direct influence of the sun at nighttime. And just the things that the ionosphere does, which I guess I kind of knew. I didn't know. Well, no, I think somebody, you or Tim, mentioned temperature. It might have been Tim. And I wonder if temperature in certain layers of the ionosphere. Now, the ionosphere is up pretty high. And I would think the temperature is fairly constant, but then again, it definitely would be, there'd be a difference between nighttime and daytime in the temperature of the ionosphere, I suppose. My computer wants to fight with me, so this would be a good time to call on the next station if I can pull up his call sign, November Kilo 1 Victor. Thanks for waiting to see what you got to say for yourself tonight, K6PDG, and the tips now.
K1V. Yeah, interesting topic. I don't know why for sure, but I do know that I have learned for a few years I've been on HF that if I have a good signal to a station I potentially want to have contact with, I shouldn't wait to try to make that contact. I should try to initiate that immediately because they tend to just disappear. And also in the reverse, struggling to hear a station that I'd like to make contact with, I often just wait a few minutes and come back and make no changes, just time, and make a very good contact. So there's lots of different reasons for fading, but I just work with it. I try not to think too much about it because I can't control it. And so far, it's worked pretty good. Back to net, NK1B.
Well, I think it's a reasonable assumption that we can't control it. That's very true. But sometimes even things that we can't control are interesting to learn about and wonder about, and particularly as hams, because hams tend to be rather curious, almost ad nauseum at times. But I'm not complaining because I'm that way too. All right, good comment. Thank you, Steve. And no fading on your signal tonight from Coventry. I think you're just about full quieting. Nice signal on the repeater. Josh was in and out. He may pop in later if he gets a break or something to throw into the mix here. But I'm at the bottom of the list for all intents and purposes. And we're going to stand by now for more check-ins. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. We meet every week for talking about ham radio and things related to ham radio. And it's called the TipsNet because it's a great place to come and get some tips, get some hints and information about stuff related to amateur radio. This is KA6PDG, Net Control. I'm now listening for some more check-ins. Nothing heard. Well, since we were talking a little bit about fading, which is, at least in this context, a feature of low-band communication, below 30 megahertz, or as Dave said, 20 meters, 40 meters, 80 meters, etc., I wonder if folks would like to think a little bit about the 10-meter band. We were talking about this last night on the Horizontal Engineers Net. And after the net, a couple of us went up to 10 meters and did a little test to see how Norwich could copy Preston and Preston could copy Groton and so forth. I think it was just three of us. And we thought, well, let's do this from time to time. So the question kind of is 10 meters for local communication maybe underused by hams, maybe underrated? And even for more distant contacts, let me reset. Does 10 meters often fall victim to the whole scenario where the band's in but nobody's using it because nobody thinks it's in, because nobody knows it's in, because nobody's using it? I think of the 10. 10-meter contest this past weekend, and I only made a couple of contacts, but one of them was down in Georgia. Now, somebody had come on this net last week and said, hey, Kevin, I'll bet you this weekend you're going to be able to talk to Georgia on 10 meters. I would have wanted to know where you're getting that information from, because we've not had real excellent 10-meter conditions the last few years. So 10-meter operation, anybody played with 10 meters? What kind of antenna do you like to use on 10 meters? I'm thinking of Steve here. Steve, have you ever done any parks on the air contacts on 10 meters? So as we sally forth, anything more about fading or HF propagation or the use of the 10-meter band here on the tips net as we go back up to the top of the list? And Tim, for anything you'd like to throw in here, Tim, or not, totally up to you. KC1TWR, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Yeah, 10 meters, I'm getting the impression. I've played with it a lot, but my impression is it's sort of like the magic band, the 6 meters. Sometimes you can't talk to, you know, anybody. Other times you're talking to people that, as you pointed out, Connecticut contact I made this past Sunday was telling me that he had a few contacts with people in the South, I think it was South America. So, you know, that was telling me, oh, okay, you know, there must be some kind of propagation that's going on. And that can be quite amazing. Whether I call it a band that can be used for, you know, good, steady contacts, I don't think so. I don't know if you'd even think of establishing a good net that would be reliable. I know there are nets locally, which is good, because you know, if the bands are open, great. If they're not, oh well, move on. But as far as doing any distance type work like Georgia or further, I think that would be just the luck of the draw. And that would be how that would work out. I do know that the person I spoke to Sunday was using a beam antenna and had to turn it. So, you know, I can imagine that might be the case with a lot of people who do HF work. On the other hand, for something like parks in the air and so forth, I would imagine maybe a vertical would work out well, and see how that runs. And as far as somebody had mentioned something about snow at the very beginning, we down here in the city of Groton, we did see snowflakes for about 5 minutes. Didn't amount to anything, but they sure were pretty for those 5 minutes. And that was the end of that. So back to net control. This is KC1TWR.
Tim, thank you. Very germane comments there about 10 meters and some thoughts on that. And I guess you didn't have any accumulation. Yeah, I know that back when we get to Steve, we'll have to find out if he had accumulation. When I was going down for the count on my little afternoon nap here, there was a weather bulletin that came out from NWS that talked about a snow squall headed for Coventry. So maybe Steve got an inch or two. All right. What was I going to say? There was something about 10 meters. Well, oh, yeah, it could be. This was just one of my weird thoughts, that doing something on 10 meters locally as a net or a little get-together, one thing it might do is provide a lot of handy practice in using relays. That's something that with our communications on repeaters, we don't do a lot. But maybe practicing the use of relays. I remember last night, found myself relaying to Josh, for example, what Dave had said, or relaying to Dave what Josh had said. Then it was kind of interesting. Dave may want to touch on this in a minute, but he switched antennas, and boy, did that help out. So different kinds of antennas can make a big difference, even on little old 10 meters. K1DCT, you're next on the tips net, KA6PDG.
All right, very good, K1DCT. Better shut the timeout timer off, because I got some stuff to say. let's see. Quickly touch back on fading. There's also multipath fading, which is, you know, kind of, if I think we're all old enough to remember receiving television signals off the air. And sometimes, during a certain time of night, you would get that ghosting effect where you could almost see that it was two images, but one stronger than the other. And that's kind of when ground wave and sky wave meet back up at the receiver, and they're not exactly in phase. So that can cause some fading too. So just pulled that out of, I've forgotten about that, but flipped open my handy dandy league handbook and got that. As far as 10 meters, yeah, we had a good time. I started out using my NFED, which is about 35 feet at the feed end, and that kind of droops off a little bit. I need to do something about that, find another branch. But then I switched to my inverted V, which the apex is only about 5 feet higher, but there's two legs of 120 feet. So with that inverted V, you've got some vertical and some horizontal polarization going on there. So I think that probably made a bit of a difference. It's also facing south, so towards Josh, which reminds me of an antenna I used when 10 meters was good. I made a 10 meter L, which was something I pulled out of QST, and it's basically just a dipole, but instead of being, you know, horizontal or vertical, it's, you know, one leg is up and one leg is horizontal. So it worked out quite well. It was only, since he was mounted on a pole, it was probably only 10 feet off the ground, and when 10 meters was good, which was back when my hair was still blonde, and it worked out very well. Let me reset here. So I still have that antenna, it's just no longer sticking out in the yard there, but certainly something could easily be resurrected. And as far as the 10 meters go, since it's good for local communications, might be something, you know, Red Cross, disaster sites, if you have HF capabilities, a good alternative to 2 meters, you know, if the repeaters go down, because you know you can't talk too far simplex on 2 meters. But 10 meters, you can, you know, if you have HF capabilities, you can run, say, 100 watts, you can, you can get out and maybe make contact with other shelters and so forth, and relay if necessary. So I think I spouted off long enough. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, that was some pretty good spouting, in my humble opinion. I guess it would depend on, I guess that's a big question, is reliability to do that sort of thing. Now, last night, the three of us were able to communicate with varying degrees of ease within a little 12-mile triangle here. Would we have been able to work a station up in Hartford? And then again, you get into the discussion about, okay, what kind of antenna to use. You mentioned Aries and things like that. It seems to me there's and this isn't just in Connecticut. I was very involved in Aries out in Oregon and in California. That as far as HF goes, a lot of it seems to be 40 meters during the day, maybe, and 75 meters at night. Perhaps some of that is because for someone who has a lower antenna, or maybe a antenna that's been quickly installed at a Red Cross building or a police station or something, chances are it's not going to be too high off the ground, and you may be able to take advantage of that NVIS or whatever the name I always forget, where your signal is a high angle of radiation and you're working stations within 200 miles of you. Maybe that's some of the thinking behind the 40 meter and 75 meter use of by ARRIES and similar organizations. Safe to say probably some of the weather nets and when there are skywarn, I know most skywarn activity around the country happens on 2 meters, but maybe there's more HF than I realize. So good thoughts. Let's go to Steve, who by now must have a whole sheet of paper full of notes, and he's going to get us thinking on the right track here when it comes to HF propagation and 10 meters and who knows what's else. What else? NK1V, KA6PDG in the TIPS net. On any of the HF bands, you can have a brief opening. Maybe it was late last week, but I remember Chuck was doing N1SPX down in South Carolina, was doing some parks on the air, and I texted him because I knew he was going to be taking off work and going to one of the parks, and I said, hey, 20 meters is alive. It's happening. I'm here in California. I'm here in Europe. I'm talking to Europe. I'm talking to Wisconsin. But by the time, an hour later, by the time he got set up out in the field, 20 meters had gone back to sleep. So you can have those short openings as well. It's interesting what you said about the 11-meter band. I haven't listened there in a long time. I have to imagine that if there's a lot of shoot and skip, as we used to call it, going on, that it's probably stations with the higher power, the illegal power. When you have a really good good distant propagation is when the sunspot cycle is at a high point, usually like it was back in the 70s. And it was very possible to, with 4 or 5 watts, talk to somebody halfway across the country or further, particularly on the single sideband. But I think now where the sun is, I have to guess, but I don't know because I haven't listened. I have to guess the guys that you're hearing doing their skip land contacts, are probably running a few hundred watts, maybe more. But that's just a guess on my part. The other anecdote I was going to throw in here, and then we're going to have a call up for more check-ins, was I used to have, when I lived in Oregon, a 10-meter HT, a 10-meter handheld radio with a telescoping antenna on it. And it worked. Let me reset. Somewhere around 1992, probably somewhere in that area, and the radio propagation on 10 meters was going down. It was fading fast. I did work one station on my little 10-meter HT standing in my front yard. In fact, I think I may have been indoors in the living room. I don't think I was outdoors. And I worked a station in Virginia from Oregon, and we had a brief conversation, a brief QSO. And that was the only contact I ever made. So I sold the thing to some poor unsuspecting ham a few months later. But the idea of a 10-meter HT, of course, it's not that far away from 11 meters, so you're using similar measurements for your whip antenna or whatever. Okay, this is the TIPSNET, KA6PDG, net control, and I'm going to hush up for a minute and listen for more check-ins. Anybody who'd like to check in and bring up a topic or just say hi, this is the TIPSNET. Those Christmas shoppers, they don't have their HTs with them. All right, very good. Well, I think maybe what we'll do is we'll just go through the list one more time. But yeah, there's some interesting points that have been made and thoughts that have been brought up. And I like, as net control, to at least have one topic that could maybe generate some conversation in case nobody else has anything in the back of their mind. I usually don't have anything in the front of my mind. But tonight I just was thinking about a couple of things, and so there you go. That's what happened. Up to the top of the list, one more round, and then we'll go into the announcement portion of the TIPSNET. KA6PDG, net control to KC1TWR. Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you, Kevin. This is Tim, KC1TWR, talking about HT. Got me thinking last night, last night I checked into the W1YU Yale net down in New Haven. It's via Echolink. They had a connection down to Alabama and had 4 or 5, maybe 6 people from down there logged in as well. And they had a grand total of about 19 people. But the topic was HTs, and what do you use it for? Do you use it every day? Do you use it just for emergencies, etc.? And it was interesting listening to all the people and what their preferences were and what they had stumbled across and so forth. And learned that out on the Cape, for instance, they use a lot of 2-meter and 220, but they don't use any 440 because of possible issues out there with interference with other services. Whereas in Eastern Connecticut, we use mainly 2-meter and 440, and we don't use 220 as much. And some people mentioned that they could have indeed an HT that could do 6-meter. And one fellow did mention he used to have one that did 10-meter as well. So that was kind of an interesting story, listening to people's experiences with HTs and so forth. did they have first, second, and third? As far as the regular antennas and everything else for the 10 meter, I'm still thinking I'm going to put together something more in line with a vertical to use down at the beach, where I can go down and quickly set it up, pop a vertical into the sand, throw out a couple of radials and be done with it, and see how that works out. But we'll see how that goes. And with that, I'll go back to night control. This is KC1TWR.
Good, Jim, and I'd be interested to see if being right there with the with Long Island Sound lapping at your toes, if that all that water there might have some positive effect on. That was a neck control sneezing pause. if it might have any effect on your 10-meter signal, that'd be kind of interesting. And the subject of HTs is a valid one. That's something we should get into some night. Makes me think I am waiting for Santa Claus to bring me a, and I think I talked about this on the air before, so I'll just make it quick, but I purchased a J-pole antenna, a folding J-pole that you can roll up and put in your pocket or in your briefcase or suitcase when you're traveling. Great for use in hotel rooms and stuff like that, or you're visiting relatives and you want to check into a net or make a call. You just hang that thing on the wall or dangle it from the chandelier at dinner parties. That's always a popular thing to do. And some of them work real well, but rather than being made out of the old thin television twin lead, these are made out of window line. And quite reasonable. I think it was $26. And then I did buy a couple of lengths of, or one little length of coax and a SMA adapter from PL to SMA for my little Baofeng. So, folding J-pole antennas, I love them. Let's go to K1DCT in the TIPSnet, KA6PDG.
Oh, very good. Good evening again, K1DCT. Well, sounds like you got a fun little thing. I actually have one of those that I made out of the twin lead. Oh yeah, still over there hanging on the hook. So waiting for Armageddon. And let's see, I want to bring up something else about 10 meters. Let's beat that band to death. I remember the days of 10FM. We used to work repeaters down the Virgin Islands with converted chicken band rakes with 5 watts. So, Steve brought it up, but yeah, 10 meters very close to the chicken band, and very similar in propagation and all that kind of stuff. So, no reason, I occasionally hear somebody talking on one of those channels. It's few and far between these days, but if I'm going to be traveling on the road on a trip, actually I have a handheld CB that I'll take with me, because, you get into a traffic jam or something, sometimes you can find out what's going on before you can Google it. So that's about it. I do have one question I will throw in here that I'm sure somebody can answer. Seeing as next week is the fourth week for the TIPSnet, it also happens to be some kind of holiday, I guess, that a lot of people celebrate. I'm wondering if anyone is expecting a TIPSnet next week. K1DCT, back to net.
Wow. Why do I get a feeling that I'm having a clairvoyant moment here, and I can predict who the net control for next week is scheduled to be? I just have a funny feeling. Tim, do you want to address that question next week? Are we going to have a Christmas rendering of the tips net, or are we all going to be too full of ham and turkey and whatnot, whatever we're full of around here? Go ahead, Tim.
Well, if I was going to be the net control, I'd say...
Day. We're going to give everybody the day off with pay and get your usual pay for being here. I'm going to go back to Dave just to see if he has any topics. The question is topics for January 1st. Wow, that could be interesting. Anybody have a suggestion? Because the first Wednesday of each month, we're going to try and focus on one thing. Not that we're limited to that. But Dave, any thoughts about the first Wednesday? What would you like to see us cover? K1DCT, K6PDG.
Well, I guess we could all talk about our hopes and dreams for the new year as far as amateur radio goes. Things that maybe you didn't get next Wednesday that you pay for or accumulate what you need to build for the new year. Spring's not that far away. So what's going up on your roof or out in your trees? That's my thoughts. Hopes and dreams. K1DCT.
I like that. Okay, it's about 10 minutes till the top of the hour, so I guess net control better kind of watch the clock here. But let's go to Steve, NK1V. Anything you'd like to comment on additionally about stuff we've talked about, or any thoughts about a topic for the first Wednesday in January, which will be New Year's night?
I have no further comments. I most likely will not be around the evening of Christmas, but I certainly should be around the evening of New Year's Day, just for the information of that. Topic, don't really have a topic. They seem to come up pretty good, but I have nothing in particular, but I will keep some thinking. Back to net, NK1B.
Well, this is one of those nets where we do allow thinking, so that's good. Thanks, Steve. If you come up with anything you think Tim would like to know about, just ask him an email or catch him on the air or what have you. K6PDG in the Tri-City Tips Net, and we're looking for more check-ins, and then I think we'll probably go into the announcement section of the net. But let's pause and see if anybody's out there who'd like to pop in and say hi, or who may have a brief a question or topic for the net, but it will have to be quite brief. KA6PDG standing by for more check-ins.
This is Whiskey One. Can I ask about Papa, just saying good evening. I've been listening for a while, very interested. Back to note, this is W1JP.
J-O-P. John recognized. Nice to hear you. Anybody else this evening? J-E-B, go right ahead.
I just wanted to mention, sounded like a good net, the parts that I was able to hear. Busy working tonight, so anybody who's got to go out, just try and stay warm, and 732-ALL, KA6PDG, K0JB.
Little cold fronts going by. The temperature's dropping. Dropping, no doubt. Any other check-ins for the tips net, and then we'll go into announcements. Alrighty. Well, let's see. What do we got coming up here? Stuff of general amateur radio interest is what we try to cover in the announcements section of the net. There is a breakfast tomorrow morning, as there is pretty much every Thursday morning, at 7 o'clock at the Old Times Restaurant in Norwich, down there at the intersection of Asylum and West Main Street, 7 a.m. opening. When the doors open at the Old Times Restaurant, that's when we get together a few of the hams, and I'm going to actually go tomorrow morning. I don't usually do things that early in the day. Hi, hi. The Saturday breakfast, of course, at the Uncasville Diner. And that would be Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning. The technician classes that will be starting up January 8th, courtesy of WA2RYV. If you know anybody, or if you're out there listening on a scanner and want to get into amateur radio and take your technician class exam, there'll be weekly classes held from 6 to 9 p.m. That's Wednesday night, 6 to 9 p.m., starting on January 8th at the Red Cross chapter building in on Route 32 in Uncasville. Class, you will be expected to purchase your technician license study book, which is around $30 or $33, depending on where you get it. And at the completion of the 8 weeks of the Wednesday night classes, there will be a VE test session. The cost for VE testing is $15. And that's the three that I have on my plate. Does anybody else have announcements? Mr. Rogers.
It would be a Raison meeting, but that they are not having a secondly, this is getting near the end of the year, and I usually try and schedule net controls from TipsNet in 3 month blocks, so nobody feels like they're locked into something forever and ever. So I'll be reaching out to the current net control operators to see if they would like to continue, and if they would like to continue in their current rotation. We still have one spot that's kind of open if anybody else would like to step in, meaning once a month, or if, once in a while would like to try net control. It's a good experience. Just let me know. And with that, back to net control is KC1TWR.
All right, job openings here on the TipsNet if you'd like to be a net control. And this is a great net to practice on, even if you've never been a net control before, because it's pretty easy, pretty casual. It's not like running a Skywarn net or a traffic net. It can be a little bit more casual, and after all, that's what this net is about, is learning. So if you've ever thought of trying your hand at being a net control, this would be a great place to do that. And Tim, I'm actually thinking of taking a little vacation. So I'm thinking for the next 3-month cycle, I would like to give up my slot. I will do it again. I'm not mad at the net. I'm not going away. I just would kind of like to take a break, give somebody else a chance, and kind of free up my Wednesday nights, even though I still have to take care of the recording. So anyway, if that doesn't put you in too big a pickle, I'd like to take a little sabbatical. Let's call it that. Other announcements this evening for the TipsNet. This is KA6PDG. And Tim, you can continue to send me the emails. I just thought I'd mention that. I wasn't sure if it was coming up in January or February. Anyway, boy, time flies, especially this late in the year. All right, let's jump into the third part of the net, and then it'll be closing time. So this is the tips net. You probably know that by now. And part three of the net is the swap section. If you have amateur radio gear for buy, sell, trade, give away, want, throw away, whatever, you're welcome to list it here. It is acceptable to list prices on the air, but no haggling or negotiating on the air about price. Save that for other venues. So with all that in mind, does anybody have any junk, amateur radio gear or equipment or transceivers or antennas or diderum dites related to amateur radio that they're looking for or would like to get rid of? Your call signs, please. I know DCT over there probably has a whole box of diderum dites. I'm surprised he's not offering any of them up this evening. But you never know when you're going to need a diderum dite or a thingamajig. Those also come in handy. All right, last call for the swap section of the TipsNet this evening. Anybody with a listing, your call signs, please. Right about on time. It's just coming up on the top of the hour, so I think we can take a minute and see if there's anybody else who'd like to check in. We won't really have time for anything extensive as far as comments or topics, but if anybody thought of something they'd like to add, or if there's a station out there who just wants to check in and get on the log, we'd be most appreciative. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. My call is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf. This will be the last call for check-ins. Sounded like that gate agent at the airport. This will be your final boarding call. All right, well, the jetway is being rolled up as I speak. The doors to the aircraft are closing, and everybody's ready to take off to whatever they're doing the rest of the evening. So thanks, everybody, for putting up with me. We've had good discussion and a lot of fun here tonight on the TipsNet. Again, if you're out there listening and just joined us or just came on frequency, the TipsNet meets every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. local time. However, we will not be meeting next week, which is Christmas, December 25th. The next net will be on Wednesday, January 1st in the year 2020. We meet here on the W1DX repeater in Salem, Connecticut, 147.060. The input is up 600. The PL is 156.7 hertz. You're certainly encouraged to check out what's going on with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, its monthly meetings, and all the other activities, including this net, that the Tri-City Club is involved in at tricityarc.net. I think I got that right, tricityarc.net. And, you know, it just occurred to me that before long, we're going to have a date to announce. announced for the race on auction in the spring. I don't have a date in front of me, but it's usually the end of April. So, yes, the calendar is advancing. Wish everybody a very happy holiday, a blessed Hanukkah, a very Merry Christmas. Do enjoy the holidays that you celebrate at this time of year. Be careful of the weather conditions, of course, especially with the cold, and then it's supposed to warm up for Christmas. Very interesting weather pattern, if you can call it a pattern. Free up the repeater for normal amateur use. Again, thanks to John. For maintaining and keeping the repeater going and those who assist him. We're glad it's here, and we're glad it's here for our use. So we'll say 73 to all. This is KA6PDG closing the net and getting out of here at about 8:03 in the evening. We'll see everybody later. KA6PDG clear.